Welcome to the Toowoomba Vineyard Church podcast. We're a vineyard church plant in Toowoomba, Queensland, passionate about discovering the joy that comes from following Jesus in community. Each Sunday, we record the messages from our gatherings so you can follow along the journey from wherever you are. Stick around at the end and we'll let you know how to connect. In the meanwhile, enjoy the message.
Hi, my name's Jen. If I haven't met you, thank you for coming. It's lovely to have you here. I love Sunday mornings with you guys. It's so much fun. And it's really lovely being in this space, isn't it? I feel so grateful that these guys have opened it up to us. So anyway, we're continuing on with this new series that Chris kicked us off with, looking at the parables of Jesus, which I love. I love looking at the things that Jesus said. Because isn't that how you want to shape your life? It's how I want to shape my life, is around the ways that he's explained to us how we should live our lives. It's pretty groundbreaking teaching that we have in this beautiful Bible that he's gifted us. So Chris has done a beautiful job of the last couple of weeks just kind of leading us into this series and setting it up and explaining that parables are a great way to study the scriptures and to learn about the kingdom of God. And that parables they're like puzzles. That's why we've got the Rubik's Cube. It's a good way to remember. They're puzzles. They're supposed to get us thinking and cogitating on them. And I think when we come to them with open hearts and minds, Jesus really does, he allows us to discover more of the kingdom of God. And so that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about today, is the kingdom of God, because why not? It's good. It's part of who we are as the Vineyard, as part of who we are as Christians. So if I asked you personally, think about it. You don't have to shout out your answers because that terrifies me. Has anyone sit in class when they were a kid and the teacher would be like, answer this question, share your thoughts, and I would like, oh, don't do that. So I'm not asking you that, but just in your mind, in your heart, if I asked you, what is the kingdom of God? What would you say? What is the kingdom of God? Maybe you don't have an answer for it. That's okay. I probably didn't until I was forced to do like 10 or 12 essays on it. And I must admit that I'm a terrible student, and so I would reuse a lot of the same quotes and things. I hope Pete Downs isn't listening to this. But what is the kingdom of God? And I think as we read the Bible, we see that the kingdom of God was like, it was a central message of Jesus' life and ministry. And then if you're reading through Mark 1, Jesus gets baptized, and then he announces that the kingdom of God was near. And that's kind of the start of this kingdom of God being announced. And if you have found yourself here, you found yourself as part of the Vineyard movement, which is a kingdom of God movement. So to being here and being part of the Vineyard movement, I think it's really helpful to understand what this kingdom of God thing is about. And if you want to learn more, we've got some books that you can borrow if you want to learn more about who we are as the Vineyard. So there's more stuff about the kingdom of God in here, which is just really useful. I'm not a reader, but that's really easy to read. So feel free to grab one at the end of this morning to borrow, because it will explain things much better than I can. But it's a great resource that has taught me a lot over the years. But yeah, the Vineyard movement, we're a kingdom of God movement. So we believe the scriptures, together with the theology of the kingdom, are the bedrock on which we stand. And John Wimber, if you've heard that name, he's kind of the father or the founder of the Vineyard movement back in the 80s. And he understood the kingdom to be this thing called an inaugurated eschatology. So there's this wise guy called Eldon Ladd, who I always want to call Elton Ladd, like Elton John, except Elton Ladd. But he was a scholar, and here's what he had to say about inaugurated eschatology. The kingdom is the dynamic, redemptive rule of God in history. It was inaugurated or introduced. I always write that because I always forget what inaugurated means. But it was introduced in the mission of Jesus and will be finally brought to completion at the end of time. So in other words, when Jesus began his ministry, he was a physical representation of God's kingdom here on earth. He was moving among his people. He shared the gospel, the good news of God's plan for the world. And he brought restoration to every single life that he came into contact with in his everyday. John Wimber, again, the father of the Vineyard Movement, if you forgot. He was a real researcher and a learner. He was a big teacher. And he came to understand that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom, introduced the kingdom in a concrete, demonstrable fashion by word and works. So in the Vineyard, we like to proclaim Jesus' words and we like to do the works of the kingdom. So kingdom theology would suggest that we should continue to do the ministry of Jesus. So we should keep living our lives the way that Jesus modeled to us in the Bible. And the kingdom of God is present when we, the people of God, partner with his Holy Spirit to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to pursue forgiveness and peace, and where there's compassion and care for the poor and marginalized. So they're like the signposts that we're doing this kingdom of God life thing. So we're going to read the parable. We're looking at Luke 13, 18 to 21. If you want to open your phone or flip open your Bible. Luke 13, 18 to 21. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Again he asked, "What shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds, that's 27 kilos for those playing at home, of flour until it worked all the way through the dough." So if you've been following along the last couple of weeks, Chris did a really good, something that I've learned this last few weeks is he talked about truth and understanding and Eastern understanding versus Western understanding. And I found that really, really helpful because just to recap, like in the West, we like answers. We like to kind of close off circles. We like to have knowledge. We like to have the answer. But in Eastern understanding, it's kind of, I feel like there's more openness to ask questions and to sit in that uncomfortable, unknowing place. And I love that because, I mean, I grew up in a beautiful Sydney Anglican church, but we're known, the Sydney Anglicans are known for having all the answers. I have no answers and I never understood things. And so I would read these parables and I'd be like, I don't get what you're talking about, Jesus. Does anyone else feel that way? Like, okay, cool. Because I still feel that way. I read parables and I'm like, I just don't know what's going on. Like, has something gone over the top of my head? Yes, something is going over the top of my head. But I feel like finally I'm okay with sitting in the unknown and sitting in the place of questioning and being okay with that and allowing the Holy Spirit to just go, hey, maybe this is the thing that that is supposed to be for me today. And maybe in a year's time, it'll be something else. So I just want to encourage you, if you feel like you have no idea what's going on when Jesus is talking half the time, I think a lot of us are on the same page, and it's okay to be in that place, and it's okay to keep cogitating on it and to keep coming back to it and going, oh, well, what are you saying, Jesus? So I have no answers is what I'm trying to say on this parable. There's lots of things we could say about it, but there's just a few things that I noticed that I felt like the Holy Spirit pointed out to my heart over these last couple of weeks that I wanted to share with you guys. So take it or leave it. If there's something else that's being pointed out to you, then that's awesome. Go with it and keep asking questions. So the first thing that I noticed was mustard trees. I tried to do a bit of research on mustard trees, and the internet is a very confusing place. I felt like I needed to talk to a horticulturalist because there are different kinds of mustard trees. Some are like these big, big trees, and some are like shrubs. So Nick, wherever Nick has gone, he's probably drinking coffee. oh, he's that way. So he's like 6 foot tall. He's a bit over 6 foot. Yeah, okay, 6 foot three-ish. So when Nick walks through the door, don't just look at him casually. Oh. Very nice. So a mustard tree or shrub, as I learned, is the thing, would be like the height of Nick, not this like ginormous kind of huge, colossal tree. So that's the thing I learned. I also read, and this may not be true, so if anyone knows anything about plants and I've just been like lied to by the internet this week, please just shout out. But I read that when they go to seed, the wind can blow them and they like propagate like crazy. Like they don't need fertile soil. They just need somewhere to pop the seed into the ground and then they grow, so which is pretty cool. In our yard, I'm pretty sure Chris has shown you a photo of our backyard, which is just a weed palace. And recently we had these amazing weeds called Farmer's Friend, and they are not Farmer's Friend. They are Farmer's worst enemy. They are the devil in a garden, and they grow up tall, and they're like spindly and gross, and then they have these yellow flowers that then seed, and then the wind blows them and they go everywhere, and then they propagate like crazy and they grow everywhere. And that's what I feel like a mustard tree is like Farmer's Friend. But also I think the kingdom is the same. It's not a weed in your backyard. It's unassuming. Like mustard seeds or Farmer's Friend seeds, they're unassuming things that they blow around and they propagate. They just find somewhere to land and then they grow. The kingdom is the same. It's not usually flash. It's not always tall and grand, but it's gentle and it's powerful and it spreads like wildfire in the right conditions. So that's my first thought, mustard trees. The next thing I was thinking about was the mustard seeds and the yeast, and how they are both substances are hidden and they're small, and again unassuming. Like yeast is an incredible active fungus or fungi. It's like mushroom family, I think I learned. It's like I learned so much this week about things I never knew that I needed to know about. But did you know that it needs food? It needs warmth and it needs moisture to thrive, which is like us. We need food, we need warmth, and we need water. So we're just like yeast. But if you mix yeast with flour and water, the dough becomes active. It bubbles and it grows. And the kingdom is similar, right? Like when we're open to what the Holy Spirit's doing, we get to partner with the Holy Spirit to demonstrate Jesus' rule and reign in the world. We get to become active and bubble over into our every single day. And I think that's pretty amazing. And like Jesus came the same way as these mustard seeds and yeast, is what I was thinking about. That he was small and insignificant and born in a dirty place. And not many people noticed. And the Jews, like they'd been waiting for this big rah-rah Messiah. Like they were expecting like an orchestra, a brass band to walk down the street. Maybe not a brass band at that time, but they were expecting a big celebration that he would be a warrior, that he would come and like if he walked in the room, much like Nick, you'd notice that Jesus had walked into your city and into your town. You knew the Messiah was here. But he came and he was born in an unexciting place. He lived in an unexciting place. He was understated until it was time for him to announce that actually he was here and the kingdom of God was near. And that's what he was here to do. So I guess my question is, what does it actually mean for us? Like, how does this get practical in our lives? I think having an understanding of what the kingdom of God is and our role in it should make a difference in the way that we approach our everyday, shouldn't it? Like, if we understand the point of the kingdom of God and our role in that, shouldn't that change how we rock up to work or how we interact with our neighbours or, just how we do our how we do life and what we notice in our everyday? If we carry the Holy Spirit, then what we bring as we walk into our days is we bring Jesus. We get to bring that reconciliation, that wholeness that Jesus walked around with. And it doesn't have to look big and fancy either, which I love. Like, I love that it can be the really small actions of encouraging someone that can be enough to bring his kingdom. I love that he'd use us for that. And sometimes the kingdom appears super majestic and big, and we experience God in these massive ways, and we hear about significant power of like, you know, healings. Most of us heard about like, oh, this person was healed of this crazy thing, or we've heard about these Bible stories where the Holy Spirit comes and Jesus heals in a really powerful way. And I think he definitely still does that, and we want to keep pursuing that as a church. But other times, I think it's really important for us to acknowledge that, you know, sometimes the kingdom feels super far away. It feels like that mustard seed. They're super duper tiny, and it feels like it's so very buried away. And where is it in my life? And maybe that's how you feel today. That the kingdom of God is not very near and is very, very far away, and have no idea how to get back to it. I think that's okay too. I feel like I've sat in that place for a really long time. Don't feel like it right now necessarily, but I've had really long seasons of going, where the heck are you, God? You are not here. Maybe you are. Well, you are here, but I don't feel it, and so obviously you're not working in my life. I think we need to remember that it's God's kingdom. It's his rule and reign, not our rule and reign. And he's just inviting us to participate. But how good is it that the kingdom of God is always active despite us? It doesn't require us feeling like we're on top of the world with God, which I love. I absolutely love. And we could just come as we are. And I think that's one of the precious things about Jesus, right? Like, we can come as we are and he still uses us and he still moves in our life. And I think as a kingdom people, us kingdom people, we should expect to experience healing and signs and wonders when the kingdom of God is present. And I think if you've said yes to Jesus and he's your friend and you have the Holy Spirit in you, then the kingdom of God is present wherever you're going, whether you like it or not. So, yeah, he's going to show up. And, you know, so the main thing that I felt like for this morning was that God actually... Now I always get terrified when we do this. I just felt like we needed to spend some time in prayer ministry, but waiting. So rather than going, I feel like the Lord has these things, which is wonderful, we're actually just going to wait on the Holy Spirit. We're going to welcome him, and then we're going to see what he wants to do. And so it takes a bit of participation from all of us. But, yeah, we're just going to stand, and we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit, and we're just going to see what his kingdom wants to do. So, way that we like to do it is assuming the vineyard position. So you would close your eyes just so you're not paying attention to everyone else, because who cares about what everyone else is doing? And if it's helpful for you, I'm a fiddly person, so I find it really helpful to put my hands out in front of me just as a way of... this is a way of kind of quietening myself and saying, I'm here, God. And we're just going to say, come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. And we're going to wait for an uncomfortably long amount of time. Just come, Holy Spirit. Yeah, we welcome you. Just keep focusing on him. We invite you rolling around, Jesus. Peace, or you might feel like your hands are starting to get sweaty or tingly, or your eyes might be starting to sweat, i.e. tears. That's all just the Holy Spirit, so just tune into that. They're all good things. Or you might feel nothing, and that's okay. We're just going to stay here. Keep your eyes closed, but if you're someone who feels like the Holy Spirit's starting to do something, just pop your hand up, and a couple of people are going to just start coming around and just saying more Holy Spirit. We're not going to go gung-ho on prayer. We're just going to say, come Holy Spirit. So just to agree with what God's doing. So if that's you, just keep your eyes closed and put your hand up. Just more Holy Spirit. We want more of your kingdom in our lives. We want you to transform our city. And we want you to use us for that. So would you come? Oh Lord, yeah, just more God. I don't know if there's someone who's come with like a, almost like you've been getting head spins or you feel a little bit like off balance. Almost feel like, whether it's to the right or left, it doesn't matter. I feel like I'm being pulled to the right. But if that's you, feel free to just put your hand up and someone can pray for you. But I'd also like to pray for you. I'm just going to stay here in this uncomfortably long silence, because how often do we get to do this? Jesus, we just make space for you. Just pour of your Holy Spirit on Bob. Awesome. Awesome. Someone happy to jump around, Michelle? Pray for that. Nice one, Michelle. Yeah, Bob.
I've just got the word disappointments, and some people might be even disappointed in God or just expectations that weren't fulfilled. I thought they were following God, and things didn't work out, that type of thing.
So disappointment, yeah, love that. So Bob's got, disappointment, feeling of disappointment that God didn't come through with the goods, really. Yeah. So if that's you, feel free to grab someone who looks safe or put your hand up, however you feel comfortable. But we'd love to pray for you for that as well. Yeah. Just welcome his kingdom into that. Yeah, I felt like there was a person who may have come here today just with a real kind of heaviness, almost like the cavern, carrying like a giant sack on their back. And that they've been dragging around a lot of stuff. So I wonder if that might go with that as well. So if that's you.
Yeah, I also had a sense that someone feels as though they're standing on the edge and God's really inviting them into a new season and a new partnership with him and bringing his kingdom in some way, but you're hanging back and are hesitant. And God is just inviting you and saying, come with me and I'll work with you for whatever it is that is the next season.
Yeah, great.
I'll pray with you.
Have you got that? Okay. So I think there's a couple of things. If there's any other prayer, if there's any other prayer needs that you came with today, we're just going to make space for that because we have time. So if it's Mandy or Barb's words, please grab them, or me, or whoever looks like a safe person. I mean, we can all work it out here. but let's just spend a bit of time bringing our stuff to God, just inviting his kingdom in. That's what this time is about. So I'm just going to pray for us to kind of wrap that up, but we're just going to, we'll put a little bit of music on really softly, and we're just going to spend some time in prayer. So, yeah, God, we just thank you that your kingdom is here, and it's also coming, and we get to participate in that. And God, I thank you for each person who's here this morning or who's listening on the podcast. And I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come in power now, that you would break off any disappointment. That if there's anyone standing on that precipice of a new thing, we just thank you that you're going to launch them into that. And we just invite your kingdom into that thing. And if there's anyone who needs healing right now, Holy Spirit, would you come, would you bring your healing to our bodies, to our minds, and to our cities, wherever we live. But we just thank you that you're a God who cares, and you're passionate about your people, and you're passionate about this world, and that you want us to spend our days working to bring your goodness and your wholeness. So we just invite you into it all.
You did it! Good on you. If you want more where that came from, search out Toowoomba Vineyard Church wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook, or at tvc.org.au. Don't be a stranger. We'd love to connect. Thanks for listening. Grace and peace to you wherever you are.